Welcome back, fellow paranormal aficionados, to Haunted 518. So today is a big day. It is, simply put, the last episode of Haunted 518, covering a town in the 518, a city, a township, a hamlet, whatever you want to call it. I have dug through every single place, according to my sources online. If I didn't find any information, we obviously didn't talk about it, but it is a crazy, weird, exciting, sad, bittersweet, I could go on and on day, because according to my research, I have found and talked about everything there is to talk about. I've scoured all books I could find for the area, including a lot of David Pitkin's books, but many other authors, Weird New York, many, many others. I have Adirondack Ghost books, also scouring the internet for sources, reaching out and talking to people that run businesses in these areas. So I can't believe I'm saying this, but this is the last episode that we will have that is specific to the area. So what does that exactly mean? Before I crack open my last spirit, special spirit with the double entendre right there, it means that the episodes going forward are going to be focused on specific things, not within the 518, but there is a limited amount of them. So I say that also as a bittersweet way to tell you that we're almost done with the podcast. This is crazy. So on that note, let me crack open what I'm going to be drinking today on this very special episode, very near and dear to my heart, of the last places within the 518 area code. So today, let's crack it open. I have Lake Placid Giant 50 UBU. So this is their award-winning IPA. It has a whopping 8.4% alcohol. You can get it shipped from the Lake Placid Pub and Brewery, one of my places to eat, for not only what they serve, but also the atmosphere. The label features a gorgeous photo by local legend Sean Ondock, and it is a vigorously hopped strong American IPA brewed with 6 pounds of flavor hops per barrel. Not overly bitter, but extremely hoppy. We showcase the many attributes of the Citra, Simcoe, and Chinook hop varieties. So guys, girls, non-binary pals, here's cheers to you. That is hoppy, but delicious and special. So I am going to be taking you on a little road trip focusing in the Lake Placid area, heading to over to Upper Jay. But pretty much a lot of this I have covered. I just wanted to preface this by saying a lot of this I had actually covered, because in the beginning of this episode, of this whole shebang a couple years ago, I had done Adirondack specific episodes. These things came up throughout other stories that I had told, but I had realized, even though I did a Saranac Lake and Tupper Lake specific episode, I've done a Racket Lake, Long Lake, Blue Moose Lake, or Big Moose Lake and Blue Mountain Lake specific episode, I believe it was. I've done a Lake Piseco specific. I'd never done a Lake Placid specific episode, and there's a lot to talk about, and a super famous urban legend and spooky tale that goes along with the lake. So I thought, what a way to go out with a bang, to actually dedicate a full episode. I always like to envision myself as a listener and not necessarily the host when I listen, because I think about, well, what if I came upon Haunted 518 and was interested in that area? I could probably scour through these other ones. It's not necessarily dedicated to that specific area. I thought, no, we got to do an episode on it. So on that note, let me take another sip, get myself into the right mindset to understand that this is the last time I'll be doing a town. It's very crazy. we're going to go ahead and we are going to get started. So the most well-known story in Lake Placid is that by far of Mabel Smith Douglas. She has been dubbed the Lady in the Lake. We are going to get into her story more in a little bit, but I just wanted to start off by with a little bit of a teaser. Now we're going to go through some venues that have supposed paranormal activity. The first one, and I found a lot about it, was the Stagecoach Inn. It's pretty well known for how haunted it is. Back in the day, the formerly Lion's Inn served as a meeting place and even housed the post office at one time. It was also the home of Melvin Dewey, creator of the Dewey Decimal System. Employees of the inn say that guests have seen spirits or felt them around. Housekeepers have even mentioned that someone or something is stealing pillowcases and that pillows that say welcome friends are constantly turned around. The second place I found a lot of information about was the former Lake Placid Club, and this place was created by Dewey after relocating in 1891 and is credited for bringing winter sports to the area. Renovations were completed during World War II, and though the club's buildings aren't there anymore, many have said that they used to see Dewey's wife rocking back and forth in a rocking chair in the library. How appropriate. The next one is the Olympic Center, and if you go to Lake Placid, even if you didn't want to, you can't miss this place because of the sheer size of it, and it's the first thing that welcomes you to downtown. The Olympic Center is best known for being home to the Miracle on Ice, but something else happened there too. In 1995, Sergei Grinkov and his wife, Ekaterina Gordieva, were practicing for the Stars on Ice tour. Suddenly, Grinkov collapsed from a heart attack. He did not survive. Ekaterina continued and skated solo. Many skaters have said to felt Sergei's presence and there too consistent to ignore. The next one, and another one you can't really miss if you're visiting there, is the Olympic Speed Skating Oval. It was used in 1932 and the 1980 Winter Olympics, and several employees have claimed seeing a human shape out of the corner of their eye, usually when the doors are locked and no one is there. They suspect the spirit is that of a speed skating official that fell and hit his head while officiating a race. A fallen skater apparently slid into him from behind, and he died from a brain hemorrhage. The next one is the Whiteface Club. This has been around since 1882. Fires have damaged the club building three different times, and in the 1980s, the main building was demolished for the condominiums that are currently there. Apparently, though, Preston Bickford, the son of the family who built the original structure, has not enjoyed the changes. Preston shot himself years ago and has not been spending the afterlife playing pranks on, and has now been spending the afterlife playing pranks on the property. People have reported seeing an image of a ghost on the staircase in pictures. Preston used to be the head plumber and has been messing around with the plumbing, including removing a plug 25 feet in the air and putting it on a ledge somewhere. The urinal in the men's room flushes on its own in the middle of the night. Lights will turn themselves on and off, and kitchen doors swing on their own. And people have reported hearing the sounds of running footsteps. So, definitely interesting. Another place I found was the Historic Palace Theater, and I guess this place is home to an extremely noisy but extremely friendly ghost named George. You'll find him in Theater 3. So a couple of the different list of the different places. So I just wanted to get into a few of these places, delve into them a little bit more. The Lake Placid Club had some stories that I wanted to talk about. So the experiences that keep popping up in abundance revolve mostly around the buildings of the former Lake Placid Club. The club's buildings date back to the late 1800s and some are still standing today. The main clubhouse and many of its larger buildings don't exist anymore, but many of the old club cottages were sold, renovated, or restored. We've heard a few stories about some hauntings in these historic buildings, and the first is Annie and the Rocker. One of the repeating experiences people have shared is the existence of at least one spirit who floated around the main building of the Lake Placid Forest section, Lake Placid Club Forest section. The stories were that of an old woman either floating in the air in the hallways or seen rocking in a chair in the library. Melville Dewey, founder of the club, was also the inventor, like we mentioned before, of the Dewey Decimal System. Not surprisingly, the club housed an extensive library on the second floor of the building, about dead center in the structure. One of the main staircases was directly in front of the entrance to the library, the walls which were mostly glass. It was easy to observe what was going on in the main part of the library from the hallway, and it is believed by those who saw her that it was the ghost of Annie Godfrey Dewey, Melvin's first wife. She purportedly haunted the hallways around the library as well. Annie died in the summer of 1922 at the age of 73 at her home near Albany, New York, after attending a symphony concert and psychology lecture with her friend Emily Beale. According to the story, they returned home and Annie retired as she always did. At about 1 a.m., she rang for her nurse as she had done many times because of ill health. By 2 a.m., she had passed away. In her typewriter was an unfinished poem to her husband. With her last breath, she asked the nurse to give the poem to Melville. She must have been searching for him in the halls of the club until the structure was damaged by fire and it was razed in January of 1922. Another story is about the conference center, the current Crowne Plaza Resort and the conference center. A friend recently related a story involving the former Grandview Hotel, which was situated on the same site as the current Crowne Plaza Resort on the hill above the conference center at Lake Placid. This is the story related to me by Lake Placid resident Ben Cross. This is a personal story that happened to me sometime around 1957 or 58. I used to spend time searching through the old closed-up Grandview Hotel before it was demolished. The windows were all boarded up, but I found an opening to get in. This particular day, I was walking down a corridor on the ground floor, and I came across what I guess was at the time the lobby area. For about 10 seconds, it was just as if it was in business. There were several people in old-style clothes standing and walking around all in that area, and I couldn't get out of there fast enough and never went back. Who knows if those same spirits inhabit the Crowne Plaza, although I've never heard any such stories. So another place is the Adirondack Correctional Facility in Raybrook, which is 3 miles from Lake Placid. And this person talks about a story confirmed by numerous employees in the facility. It says, I worked at the prison, which was originally the tuberculosis hospital in Raybrook. I worked the midnight shift and had to make rounds of all of the buildings. Every time I would go through the dining and kitchen area at a certain spot, the hair on the back of my neck would stand up. And an area about 15 feet long was much colder than the rest of the room. It happened several times before I dared to tell anyone about it because I thought they would think I was nuts. When I did tell a coworker, he told me the same thing happened to him, but he never said anything until I did. That opened up a big box of others who had been reluctant to say anything about their experiences. One guy said he was sitting in his office in a long hallway. The lights in his office and hall were on, but dim. All of a sudden, he saw an apparition sort of float by his doorway and down the hall. This was a secure and locked area, so no one could get in. He went out to the hall and searched, but there was nothing or no one to be found. A nurse then relayed the following. She worked the midnight shift and had returned from checking the inmates in the infirmary down the hallway. When she got back to the office area and turned to the right to make the corner, she was stopped abruptly because she was face to face with a lady dressed in early 1900s nurse's clothing. The apparition immediately vanished. The nurse was scared for the rest of her employment at ADK Correctional. The last part involves an inmate who is housed in an adjacent building dorm. He had gone to sick call because he was being tormented by a ghost. He even had a name for her, Ellen Clark. She had also been seen walking outside on the roadway between two of the building dorms. He was so upset that he had to be transferred to the psych ward at Clinton Correctional Facility. The interesting thing about my experience in the area is that I was affected in is just above where the old sanatorium morgue was located and where the nurse encounter happened, where the old operating room used to be. Adirondack Correctional was converted to its current use in the 1980s. In its former life, the building served as a hospital for treating tuberculosis patients, and many patients died there, and the spirits are likely those of former patients. And so in the Stagecoach Inn, it's the oldest, just a little bit, I know I mentioned it, but a little bit more information. It's the oldest operating inn in Lake Placid, dating back to the 1700s, when it was truly a stagecoach stop. The innkeeper and owner, Mary Pat Ormsby, reports numerous occasions when items within the inn were moved to randomly odd locations for no explainable reasons. She insists it's a woman, but although I'm not sure she's ever seen her, she also is a decidedly friendly spirit, but just a bit mischievous. So definitely book a room there and find out for yourself. So before we get into the story of the Lady of the Lake, which is just, I think, like the biggest story of the area, although a lot of these are pretty big, I did want to just play from Spectrum News 1. Back in October of 2015, there was a news story that was published, and it was entitled, "Could Haunted Destinations Bring More Tourism to Lake Placid?" So I wanted to just play this so you can hear it and just enjoy it. So sit back, relax, and enjoy.
No better time than Halloween for a ghost story or two, and tourism officials say Lake Placid has had its fair share. The Lake Placid Club and Grand View Inn no longer exist, but both were supposedly haunted. The club haunted by the founder's wife, and the inn occasionally coming back to life, even though it was closed for years. Another with a history of haunting, the Stagecoach Inn, which tourism officials say is the oldest operating inn in Lake Placid.
Maybe you don't believe in ghosts, maybe you don't believe in hauntings, but it's fun to read about them. And then there are a lot of people that do believe in them, and you know, there's enough stories around here that why not come check it out?
So if you have the courage, stop by and see if the ghost that supposedly lives at the Stagecoach Inn will move your stuff around or push your pillow, as the owner says happens from time to time.
Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed that. I know it was things we talked about, but it's always fun to hear, you know, something more official like a news story. So we're going to jump right back into it. And we're going to get into the story of Mabel Smith Douglas, also known as the Lady of the Lake. So many people in New York believe that a particular area of Lake Placid, of the actual lake itself, is haunted by her. Mabel Smith Douglas was a 59-year-old woman from New Jersey who is quite renowned by many people on the East Coast as being an amazing educator. Mabel was a trailblazer for many and also was the dean of the New Jersey College for Women at Rutgers, a college that was later named Douglas College in her honor. Tragically, a series of terrible, unfortunate events led Mabel up to her family camp on Lake Placid during September of 1933. Mabel had sadly become all too familiar with tragedy, recently losing her husband unexpectedly, and then later dealing with her only son committing suicide. With so much sadness in her life, Mabel found herself institutionalized for nearly a year. In an attempt to escape all of her pain, Mabel and her daughter took a trip up to their family camp on the lake to find some peace of mind. On September 21st, while Mabel and her daughter were in the process of closing up the camp for the season, Mabel rode out onto the lake and was never seen again. The only woman to ever go missing and never be found in Lake Placid, Mabel Smith Douglas rode out onto the water and was never found. After many searches went underway, Mabel's canoe was found washed up on a shore near one of the deepest areas of Lake Placid, but she remained missing. Police officers searched the lake and the surrounding areas, even hiking trails, looking for her. It was an upsetting mystery that bothered many. That is, until a trio of scuba divers went for a swim in Lake Placid in 1963 and discovered what they thought was a mannequin. A popular area for people to visit along the middle of the lake is Pulpit Rock, a spot where three scuba divers went for a swim on September 15th, 1963. Just a week shy of being exactly 30 years from the date that Mabel had gone missing, roughly 100 feet below the lake's surface, the divers saw what they initially believed to be a mannequin set up in the lake as a prank. It wasn't until one of the divers pulled the at the mannequin's arm and it detached from the body that they realized this was an actual human in the bottom of Lake Placid. According to the divers, the body had been preserved so greatly at the bottom of the lake that it looked like it had died just moments ago. I may not have ever gone scuba diving, but I can tell you that stories like this that keep me from desiring to do any great underwater exploring. After it was that they realized they had discovered a body, two of the divers swam up on the surface to identify where the body was in the lake and to call the authorities, leaving one diver with the body so they would know exactly where it is. Clearly having similar fears as I do, the young diver that was left with Mabel grew unnerved by how eerie the body looked. It was reported that the body was on its side with its feet in a curled up position, looking as though it was sleeping and could wake up any moment. It was because of this that the diver decided he couldn't stay in the water with the body and began to guide it up to the surface himself. Unfortunately, while bringing the body up from the lake's cold depths, pieces began to, well, detach. Not only had an arm detached when the divers first thought it was a mannequin, but the other issue at hand was also that the body had a rope and anchor wrapped around its neck. Between getting the anchor off the neck and taking the body out of the cold, deep waters that had kept it so well preserved, another arm, head, and other parts came apart and were damaged by the time it was brought to the surface. Even though damage was done to the body, there was still enough evidence to prove that almost exactly 30 years later, Mabel Smith Douglas had been found at the bottom of Lake Placid. The fact that Mabel had been the only woman to ever go missing and never be found in Lake Placid was a very large indicator that this was her. Mabel had also broken an arm at the time of her disappearance and gave investigators another way to confirm her identification. While her death was ruled as an accidental drowning, many believe that Mabel was overcome with sadness and took her own life out on the lake. Over the years, many people visiting Lake Placid have claimed to see the ghost of her by Pulpit Rock, where her body was found. If you're curious exactly where this location is, attractions like the Lake Placid Boat Tours in Town features tours that take you by Pulpit Rock and tell you the story of Mabel's death. And you can find out for yourself if you believe that Mabel is still haunting the waters of Lake Placid. And just a little fun tidbit that I read in another article, it said it is believed that her body was so well preserved because of the freezing temperature area in the lake where she was found, and also because of the mineral content of the water. So as she went down, she basically became petrified. So that's kind of crazy, but yeah, cheers to Mabel Smith Douglas, because she comes up a lot. Now we're going to go to some personal stories. The first one submitted by Anonymous. The trailer park Cascade Acres, or it might have been a warning. That doesn't make sense. Well, there was a shadowy person run by the outside, then a plate came flying across the room. This was a few years ago and I lived in B. I don't remember exactly, but it happened one time and it just may happen again. The next one submitted by L. My friend and I were in the study at a lodge. We both at the same time felt goosebumps, and then our eyes filled with water, and we felt very happy yet sad at the same time. We felt a strong pulling sensation and felt the air was thick. We turned to look at each other and we both had unexplained tears in our eyes. Once we left the room, the feeling went away. We asked one of the employees if anyone else had experienced the strange feeling, and we were worried he was going to think we were weird. He said many guests have seen a female ghost. She has played tricks on the staff. They call her Nora. Maybe we experienced Nora's energy. And somebody followed up on that, named Heather, and said, I went there this winter for dinner. They had the big Christmas tree up in the dining area. When I went to look at the tree, there was a fog-like mist beside it. I kept trying to look at the tree at a different tree differently, and even though for a second I thought it was my eyes. I even asked my mom if she was seeing a thick fog-like mist, and she said no. Every time they looked over there, it was just there. I had a feeling someone was with me the whole dinner. And then the last one is submitted by Tom. The old Swiss motel is very haunted, or when it was there, an older lady walked through the wall smiling when I stayed there many years ago. She was harmless but left a lasting impression. I guess she just had to check on her guests. That's creepy. So that is it for the Lake Placid area. The only other thing I wanted to talk about was moving up to Upper Jay. And I researched like the whole Keene Valley for this Wilmington area. I could only find in Upper Jay a pretty famous spot called the Wellscroft Lodge. And I know I've talked about it before, but I wanted to mention it because it's so close. It's an 1890 Tudor revival style mansion built with 22 rooms, which, as the name implies, operated as a lodge for some time. It is no longer open to the public, but past guests report having had creepy experiences while inside. A mysterious lady in red was seen appearing on the stairs and has also manifested in front of the windows. So the lady in red, definitely interesting. Well, friends, I don't really know how to end this episode. Although it is not the last episode of Haunted 518, I am going to post a picture of my list of towns that I printed out that had probably, I would say, 500 different townships, hamlets, maybe. 400. I'm not sure exactly. I have the list. I never counted, but I went through everything. And we are on episode, I believe, 92 or 93, somewhere around there. I'm recording this and it may be published in a different order because I have some guests coming out. So we're in the 90s here. And that's how many episodes, with the exception of maybe a fifth of those being stepping outside of the area, the Haunted 518 area code for specific topics, maybe a quarter of them. But yeah, it took about three and a half years, but we are through it. So stay tuned. We have some really fun upcoming episodes, upcoming guests. We have a few things, you know, right around the 518 that I want to talk about, and then a few topics. So we'll be here for a little while longer. But I just want to emphasize that I really appreciate everyone who has listened and supported me this whole time. This was like a passion project of mine because I always had my personal story to tell or talk about or just ruminate on, and I felt like I was fascinated by these things and had nobody to talk to about it. So I talked to a microphone, and then we started this great little community, and I'm so grateful and appreciative for everyone that's a part of it. So I have said many a times, I'm going to tell my story. I took the time to write it down. I do get nervous talking about it sometimes, and I get nervous about what ears could hear it potentially. And yeah, it's a whole thing that I have to kind of make peace with to be able to talk about it. So it's ready and waiting for me to tell. And I have two pretty big stories to talk about. One is lengthy and very complicated and convoluted. The other one is just simply a very kinetically active house that I spent a lot of time in. So I'll talk to you about those stories at some point. But on that note, friends, please crack open something for me, a seltzer, you know, non-alcoholic seltzer, you know, a beer or something. Raise your glass, even a glass of water, and a big cheers to myself for doing this, to Haunted 518 itself, the idea of it, to y'all in the community, and everyone that's been involved in this podcast, all my guests, all the authors, everyone. So thank you so much. And on that note, a big cheers and happy haunting.